Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GTND India Limited Quarter Four and Year-Ended March 2024 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Megha Gupta from GTND India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Gupta.
Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to the GTND India Limited Earnings Call for the fourth quarter and financial year-ended March 2024. I'm Megha Gupta from GTND India Finance and Investor Relations team. Today, we have with us Mr. Sandeep Zanzaria, CEO and MD of the company, Mr. Sushil Kumar, Whole-Time Director and CFO of the company, Mr. Abhishek Srivastava, Head Business Operations, Ms. Kanika Arora, Communications Leader, Ms. Anupriya Garg, Company Secretary of the company. During this call, we will discuss company's financial performance, including operational highlights. We'll share key updates. We'll address any questions that you may have. Before we begin the call, I would like to highlight a few important notes for today's call. Firstly, we have just declared results for the fourth quarter and financial year 2024. The said results are now available on our company's website. Further, we have also prepared analyst presentation for the quarter, which will be discussed during the call. Also, I would like to remind everyone that today's discussion may contain a few forward-looking statements which are subject to risk and uncertainties. These statements are based on our current expectations, and actual results may vary materially from those expressed or implied. We encourage you to refer to our public filings and disclosures for comprehensive understanding of the factors that could impact our future performance. Towards the end of the presentation, we'll be having a dedicated question-and-answer session. Thank you once again for joining us today. We appreciate your continued support and trust in GTND India Limited. I'll now hand over the call to Sandeep for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Megha. Good evening, everybody. Appreciate you taking time to join us for today's call and continued interest in GTND. I'd like to begin by sharing that we are incredibly proud and excited that GE Vernova is now an independent company, having completed our global spinoff. This significant moment builds on more than 130 years of industry leadership and signals a tremendous opportunity to collectively accelerate the energy transition. GE Vernova is purposely built to meet this challenge with its product and services designed to generate, transfer, orchestrate, convert, and store electricity in order to create a more reliable and sustainable electrical power system. GE Vernova's electrification business, of which GTND is part of, electrifies the world with advanced grid technologies and systems, enabling power transmission and distribution across the power grids and supporting a decarbonized and secured energy transition. India is poised to witness the fastest growth in electricity demand among major economies, according to the International Energy Agency report. The Indian power transmission segment has grown significantly over the years to cater to this rise in generation capacity and power demand, making the country's electricity grid as one of the largest synchronous grids in the world. The big growth driver is the need for grid stability and flexibility in use of renewables. Reinforcing, modernizing, and automating the grid with right equipment, energy storage, power for control, reactive power equipment is mission-critical to maintain the stability. GTND is a major player in the transmission sector in India, and we are totally geared up to exploit the expanding demand getting generated through energy transition and digitization. One of the other key growth drivers for us would be India's data center market. That is one of the most dynamic markets in the world and is witnessing several new investments from local and global operators. With this background and rising demand in global and Indian markets, we are excited to share a continued surge in our order book in Q4, which saw bookings of 13.3 billion, up by 53% year-on-year compared to 8.7 billion in the quarter ended March 23. Few of the key orders that we received were from Power Grid to build the State Transmission Asset Management Center for Odisha, the supply of GIS for data centers in Maharashtra and Andhra Pradesh. For FY 23-24, our order booking was 57.9 billion compared to 27.4 billion, up by 112% year on year. This strong order pipeline helped us to improve our order backlog to 62.7 billion, as against 37 billion of last year, an impressive increase of 70%. Our Q4 revenue stood at 9.1 billion, vis-a-vis 7 billion in a Q4 FY 22-23, up by 30%. This also included a notable increase in our profits. On a FY basis, our 23-24 revenue stood at 31.7 billion, vis-a-vis 27.7 billion, up by 14%. Our profit before tax and exceptional items was at 1 billion compared to 43 million INR in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year. From an FY 23-24 perspective, profit before tax stood at 2.63 billion versus 381 million in FY 22-23, which is an increase of 23 times. This improvement in profitability and balance sheet paved the way for the company becoming debt free. The cash and cash equivalent balance stood at 2,765 million Indian rupees as of March 31, 2024, versus 1,573 million as on December 31, 2023, our previous quarter, and a net debt of 1,730 million as on March 31, 2023. The cash generated for the Q4 was 1.19 billion and for the year was 4.5 billion for FY 23-24. We are also pleased to inform to our shareholders that the board has recommended a dividend of rupees 2 per share after a gap of 5 years, which is subject to shareholders' approval. GE Vernova is committed to develop top-notch technologies that allow us to secure trust from our customers. From Power Grid, we developed 2 gigawatt bipolar HVDC systems, STATCOM solutions, full range of grid stabilization solutions. We offer SF6-free switchgears contributing to the standards of the grid industry. Utilities are moving away from viewing the grid as something that they operate with manual operations to a much more modern architecture that gives them the ability to see the entire grid and orchestrate for variabilities. With this critical demand driver, we see a robust addressable market for our energy-focused software business, especially for GridOS, which is highly differentiated offering and the first of its kind. Lastly, we continue to focus on deploying our lean operating system to reduce lead times, reduce our cost, and expand our production output. In the coming years, the nation's commitment to achieve 50% of its electricity generation capacity from non-fossil sources by 2030 will necessitate substantial investment in both interstates and intrastate transmission network. With ongoing investment in grid modernization, capacity expansion, and integration of technology, the future outlook of the country's transmission segment is promising. These initiatives will not only enhance grid reliability, but will also support the government's ambitious goal of increasing renewable energy capacity and reducing carbon emissions. We could not be more excited about the path ahead, and we thank you for your continued support. I now invite Abhishek to talk about the operational.
So thanks, Sandeep. Good evening, everyone. I will just quickly take you through the key operational highlights for GET&D. In the quarter four of the financial year 23-24, we partnered in development of the transmission network of our country, and in this two key milestones were achieved. One was the commissioning of Renew Koppal Phase 2, which is the first TBCB project for our customer Renew, and this is the largest interstate grid connection for southern part of India. Another key milestone was commissioning of 220 kV GIS for Adani Kutch Copper Limited, And this was again a great sense of satisfaction for us in terms of participating in setup of one of the largest single point copper manufacturing facility, and this project was done in a record time. So these are two key highlights, and I hand over to Sushil to take us forward.
Thanks, Abhishek, and good evening, everyone. Talking about the financial performance and first highlighting the orders achievement. So this financial year, we booked 57.9 billion of orders. This was 112% more than the orders that we booked in the last financial year. During the quarter, we achieved 13.3 billion of orders, which was 53% higher than corresponding quarter in the last year. If you look at the investor presentation, it's important to note that every quarter in this financial year, the order booking number was significantly higher than what we achieved in the corresponding quarters of the last financial year. The orders that we achieved are basically coming from different set of customers. This includes the central PSUs, state utilities, developers, EPC companies, and so on. And also, we have made a significant improvement in the export orders during the year. In terms of the financial performance, this quarter, we achieved 9.1 billion of revenue, about 30% higher than corresponding quarter in the last year. Whereas on a full year basis, we achieved a revenue of 31.6 billion INR, about 14% increase versus the last financial year. However, a very important improvement is in the EBITDA level, where we have about 12.8% EBITDA for the quarter, a significant 8.3% improvement, 8.3 points improvement versus the corresponding quarter in the last year. And on an overall basis, the EBITDA for the financial year was 10.8%. About which represents about 5.9 points increase versus the corresponding last financial year. Similarly, like we have a significant improvement in the EBITDA, and we have since we have become debt-free, and we do not incur the financial charges as in the earlier financial year, the performance or improvement in the profit before tax and exceptional item and profit after tax is higher than what we see in the EBITDA level, the details of which are already given in the presentation. In terms of some of the highlights, as highlighted in the page 8 of the investor presentation, with respect to the split of order book and revenue between export and domestic business. So overall for the financial year, the overall 57 billion orders that we booked, 68% of the orders were from domestic market and about 32% orders from the export market. On the revenue front, on the entire financial year, out of total 31.6 billion of revenue, 69% of the revenue is from the domestic market and about 31% of revenue is from the export side. End of the financial year, we have about the backlog of 62 billion, which has basically 63% coming from the private customers. State utilities have about 10% share, and about central utilities have about 27% of the backlog or orders we have with us. So with that, we can now open up for the question.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a good quarter and consistent improvement in margins, sir. So my first question is on the order inflow. Of course, last year was stupendous. But as we go forward, how do you see the next 12 months from ordering point of view, given the sharp bidding activity in interstate transmission system?
So, hi, Mohit. Yeah, thank you for the question. And yeah, we look this the momentum which has been built in the past year in terms of order intake. We expect the momentum to be there, and we are looking at closely monitoring the situation because we see a number of transmission projects which have which are under finalization now, where the reverse options and things are happening. So yeah, we are looking at a sustained 24-25 as well.
My second question is, sir, I believe that we do not have any STATCOMs under installation in India. Are we in the process of indigenizing the STATCOM and start looking at this opportunity in future?
So, yeah, you are right, Mohit, that today we don't have a STATCOM order which we are executing in India. But definitely globally we have a portfolio of STATCOM. Recently there was an announcement of GS11 STATCOM in Taiwan as well. So yes, we are closely watching this market, and then we are engaged with few customers as well. So yeah, we would be present in this segment as well.
But can you execute right now, or think it will take? You can't execute now. If any order is available, you can't take it now. Is that a fair assessment?
You can take and execute.
Okay, understood, sir. My third question, sir, given that there is a large 3-4 HVDC lines which are about to be tendered in the next, starting from next couple of months to the Leh Ladakh, is it fair to assume that we can execute at least two of them at one instance, or do you think that the opportunity is too large and we can only do one?
So I will not be able to comment on that, whether we will be able to do 1, 3, 4. But yes, we are a global player of HVDC, and definitely India remains a very important market for HVDC. So yes, we are committed to Indian HVDC market.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kandpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, Sandeep. Congratulations on a great quarter and the year, sir. So my first question is on the order bookings from the parents. If I remember correctly, last call we had said that total exports of 1600 crores, 1200 crores was related party orders. So now, and we had taken approvals of almost 2800, I think 1000 earlier, and then later on we had followed up with another 1800 crores of orders. So just wanted to understand from the ordering point of view, what has been closed out of the new 2800 crores of RPT approvals we have taken in this financial year, and how much of these orders are expected to come in FY25?
This is Sushil. Basically, you know, when we talk about the export segment, and this time, as I mentioned, we have done about 18 billion of orders from the export segment out of the total 57 billion of order booking. And you rightly mentioned that almost 75% of these are coming from the, sorry, 65 to 75% are coming from the related party or the group entities. In terms of the subsequent approval that we had taken as a related party services, those contracts are still under discussion and negotiation. And the related parties or the other group companies are participating in further tenders with the third parties. If they win, and we are able to negotiate with the related parties, we expect to have a momentum in the first half of this financial year.
Okay. Second thing is that we have seen our parents, the Vernova electrification equipment business, the order backlog has been growing. Like from CY21 of $5 billion, now it is almost at $13 billion at the end of CY23. And I think at the end of 1Q, it's CY24, it's already $18 billion. So do you think that this trend of related party transactions on the order booking side, we will see continuous uptrend on this, at least in the near term, given under investments in capacity building globally?
So the market is strong globally as well as in India. And wherever we get the opportunity, we continue to focus on that and convert that opportunity into order. As and when we get further opportunities from the group parties, we definitely would like to have more and more orders from the related parties as well.
Okay. And so will these orders be at a better margin? Given you have mentioned in the past that export orders do have better margins. So when we take, now these export orders are sizable from the parent point of view at 65%, which you highlighted, 65 to 70%. But are these margin dilutive to the India business, or will have similar or better margins?
Yes, generally the export orders margin are better than the margins that we get in the India business historically. But India market, the pricing is also improving and the margins are also becoming better. So depending on the deal or the business line, in some business lines we get better margin at the India level as well.
Okay. And just the last question, sir, on this HVDC side. So, I mean, recently, I think DHL on today's call said that they have entered a joint venture with the international company. So is it GE or if not, then whether are we looking at tying up or for HVDC in a joint venture or directly bidding for these orders?
So, Parikshit, we will not be able to confirm or deny anything because these are all individual strategies in the market. So, sorry.
Okay. But we are open to directly bidding also, sir. I mean, are we open at both the options? I mean, looking at the joint venture with anyone else or also directly bidding? So,
I will not comment on that whether we are bidding in consortium or whether we are bidding alone. But yes, we are very serious and we will be an important player in HVDC in India.
Okay. And just, Sushil, just one thing on this tax, sir. There is a high outgoing tax this year, I mean, this quarter especially, I mean, the tax rate is higher. Is there any one-off? I think you have taken some right tax provisioning for previous years. If you can help us clarify why the tax rate is so high in this quarter.
Yeah, so as you see the profit and loss statement that we published to stock exchange, we have already classified 85 million of tax related to the earlier year as a separate line item. So that's a one-off item.
But what is the reason behind it? So I just wondered, I've read that note, but what was this pertaining to? I mean, was there any assessment or anything?
Yes, it's pertaining to the, let's say, review of the available tax balances and the probability of getting those from the tax authorities. This is the internal as well as external opinion that we have taken. But I can confirm that this is a one-off item in the P&L.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I wish you the best. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Parikshit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, team, and congratulations for a very strong performance. So my first question is just to understand on a broad basis, now that you mentioned Vernova is a separately spin-off entity, does it have any material implication on the way the operations have been run at GET and India, or any strategic decisions for the India entity, or business remains the way it was there until last quarter or so?
So I think operationally and strategically, at least I can say that the business remains as it is. But the advantage of, for example, so when it was a very larger G, but today when it becomes Vernova, we are a very energy-focused company. So definitely with time, probably because we are just very new, like 2nd of April we became Vernova, and today we are in May. But I think with a lot of other businesses of Vernova, we will now be looking at more operational, how to integrate and try to address more markets. That would be a strategy which we would be exploring in the times.
Got it. Secondly, from an order book perspective, I know you just commented earlier, but if you see it's the highest inflows in the past decade that the India entity has secured, and order backlog also in absolute levels is back to 2019 levels. So X of the HVDC export order, which you mentioned was a longer gestation cycle project, what would be the average execution of the current backlog that we have, excluding the HVDC export?
12 to, so depending on the product that we sell, it ranges from 12 to 24 months.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And on this backlog also, especially the last 6 months, at least domestic market has been extremely favorable for the equipment vendors and pricing has seen material improvement. So you think the gross margin that you were able to report in fiscal 25, 35%, which was a reasonably healthy level, that should be maintainable? Or you believe there could be some headroom for improvement from further on from these levels as well? Given that business is still product heavy compared to projects.
So I'll say here that business is, as a strategy, we are more product heavy than project. So this is one change in strategy what we have done. And We have been telling, we have been in the various investor call, we have been telling that this is the strategy, that is one thing. And yes, definitely the whole organization works for the improvement of margin. It is not that at whatever we have won is something that we are happy with it. So through lean, through sourcing savings, through risk mitigation, all the levers are put into place to improve the margin. So I think we are pretty confident that yes, we should be able to do a much better 25.
Thank you. And related to this, one more question lastly on this side. In the last conference call, we did highlight that potentially the India entity could win another 1,000 crores kind of order from the group for HVDC exports, and we were expecting it somewhere around April, May. So is that order very well on cards and could be expected in the near term, or it would be again subject to certain wins from the parent group entity?
So Renu, I answered this question when Prakshit asked the same question. First of all, we didn't declare, just as a clarification, that it's an HVDC order.
Okay.
It's for various products that we manufacture in our factory. The second part, as I mentioned, is subject to the group of the global entities or the related parties from the customer, as well as internal income by GT&D from the group entities, because we are not the only one who manufacture these products. But yes, we are working seriously on orders, and we are basically trying our best to get more orders from the export market, as we have been focusing both domestic as well as the export market to increase our order book and utilize maximum capacity of the plants that we have.
Sure. So the strategy.
Timeline for it to, just to add on, the timeline remains same, that in the first half of the this financial year, we'll have the outcome of decisions.
Got it. But strategically, if we see which other product lines within our fold you think may have a higher chance of winning fresh mandates from the parent apart from HVDC range, given that globally the value chain and the supply chain for a lot of power grid equipments are stretched. And in addition to the product lines, which new markets in your view may open up for India the way the Korean markets have opened up recently through the parent entity? Yeah, that's the last question from my side.
So, Renu, here I think one of the things is that yes, definitely the markets are opening up, because you know the energy transition story is very strong in many geographies. And so we are getting allocated newer markets which are there, and definitely we are looking eagerly towards the outcomes of these decisions which are there, which is pending with the end customers. That is one thing. And second, it is, so when we talk about HVDC, it is not only the transformer, but as Sushil said, that we have never said that these are only like HVDC opportunities which are, it could be normal substation product opportunities as well. So, and for a product different like the AIS, GIS, there is a good amount of localization done in the country itself. So we are not so heavily dependent on the outside supply chain. Definitely there will be few critical components which are going to come from the offshore vendors. But then a large part of those supply chains are also localized. So which makes the challenge bit less. I would not say that it's a totally like a zero challenge, but it really reduces the challenge in terms of the supply chain as well for the other products.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much and best wishes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Moksha from Agility Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Moksha.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted some clarity on the STATCOM part. How big is this opportunity for STATCOMs in India?
So we are looking at about close to in next 2 to 3 years, we are looking at about 15 to 20 STATCOMs to be put in India. And individually, I think one project would be some, it depends upon rating, because the ratings of STATCOMs are different, so that's why the total concentration will be totally different. But each STATCOM project can range somewhere between 250 crores to about 500 crores.
Okay. I would ask a few more questions on the STATCOM basically. So where is this required in the entire value chain? Where is it placed in the entire power value chain?
So basically, these STATCOMs are installed wherever we have evacuation from renewable sources. So in the transmission network, these STATCOMs are being installed.
So are these going to be installed in the new transmission lines for the renewable energy, or will these be replaced?
No, they will be new. So for example, the new substations which are coming under TBCB, so they are at the exit substations, along with the substation, the STATCOMs are being installed.
Okay, so these are basically installed with these substations.
Right.
In the transmission as well as distribution, or just the transmission substations?
Only transmission.
Okay. And how was this requirement of STATCOM fulfilled earlier in India?
When the generation was lower from the renewable sources, anyway, reactive power compensation was not needed to this level. So earlier the sources were mostly fossil fuel, thermal power generation and hydro. There you don't need these STATCOMs for compensation to this level. With the renewable power coming into play, now the requirement of reactive energy has gone up. So you need dynamic devices such like STATCOM to enable that flow of energy. So this is something which is because of huge spurt in growth of the renewable generation.
Okay. So is it just like the STATCOMs that are getting installed? Is it there's a mandate or something that has to be made, or is it just a requirement?
So this is a mandate which is coming from the grid operators as well, that along with the substation, you need to put the STATCOM.
So are there any alternatives for the same currently which are being used or which can be replaced?
So, yeah, there are other technologies which are there globally, but in India, no, the STATCOM is the preferred technology.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. These are my questions.
Thank you, Moksha.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jonas Bhutta from Birla Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of results. A couple of questions, Sandeep. Basically, you know, while we appreciate that the shade of the business has become product heavy in the last few years, what would be the broad breakup of sales between products and projects as we speak?
Please give me a minute to get the information.
And if I can just carry on, so, you know, while you get that data, additionally, you know, just wanted to understand if at all we were to sort of split the project side, would transformers and switch gears be the two major key products within that subset?
So normally, switchgear is a part of the projects which we deliver, but transformers are not part of the projects normally we deliver, because today all the, whether it is utility, private customers, they buy transformers, reactors separately and projects separately.
Understood. And what would be our nameplate capacity for transformers after we exited many?
That's what I say, that, you know, transformer capacity, I will not say that. So what happens is that what complexity of transformers you manufacture, it depends. Suppose, for example, maybe an HVDC transformer, when you manufacture, maybe it might be a 300 MVA, but the cost of that 300 MVA transformer would be, like for a normal 765 kV, it would be about three times of that cost. So MVA is not of course, it's a very high level reference which is there. But actual reference is that what kind of rating and how many transformers and reactors combination, including HVDC, including, for example, STATCOM. So it all depends upon complexity and the different, for example, a three-phase 500 MVA, single-phase 500 MVA is very different. So that's why we say that we don't want to measure ourselves in terms of MVA capacity.
I would have assumed that it would be 18 to 20,000 MVA. Is that a ballpark range where we are on an installed capacity basis?
Yes, I would say that's a fair guess.
Okay. What I was trying to triangulate to was that at some point in time, I think a couple of years back, you mentioned that, you know, as an entity, as we move to products, we would do peak revenues of anywhere close to 40 billion to 45 billion rupees. You know, we are at about 31. Given the shade of the order book and the sales mix, which is HVDC heavy and progressively will get HVDC heavier, you think that 2 years, 3 years out, you know, that number could be breached just because from a sales mix perspective?
So I think this will be, Jonas, will be a forward-looking statement, and we would like not to comment on this.
And the second question, do you want to give the breakup of the project versus product, or can I proceed to my second?
Yes, Jonas, I have the information. So project will be about 30% of the total 31 billion revenue that we achieved in the last financial year. And rest 70% is from the products, services, and other businesses.
Understood. The second question, and I'm going to harp on the HVDC bit, is from a competitive positioning. If you see one of your MNC peers has tied up with a local player, and you know, combined they would probably have a 50,000 plus MVA capacity to sort of cater to for an HVDC project, while we on a standalone basis, along with the parent who's already choked with orders, is in fact reverse outsourcing to us. Does that put GTND at any disadvantage from just the sheer timelines that it can deliver a particular project, the early stage projects of Fatehpur Bhadla and Khavda Nagpur? You know, we may have open capacity maybe for Leh Ladakh and Khavda Ulpad, but at least in the first two projects, do you believe that you are at a disadvantage in that sense?
So I will not say that we are at a disadvantage, because at the end of the day, you know, normally, so if you would have seen our path, so normally we are not trying to build a further risk into the company. So we will be attempting and we will be targeting projects which are within our capacities only. But I will not be able to comment today that whether we are at a disadvantage or whether we are at an advantageous position, because HVDC is not only transformer capacity, but there are a lot of other factors also included in an HVDC project, which includes the global loading factors and other factors as well. Also the amount of localization. And so there are a lot of factors which are involved into an HVDC, I would say, pricing and things like that. So on the competitive side, it will be very difficult to comment, Jonas.
Sure. And just last quick one, Fatehpur Bhadla, since the bids have been put in, what is the execution timeline as per the bid, as in tender, sorry?
It is 48 months for the first 3,000 megawatt and 54 months for the next 3,000 megawatt.
Understood. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you, Jonas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh Salunke from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. So I had a question on the capacity side. Okay. So saying we had like 18 to 20,000 MVA variable capacity, just wanted to know, are there any capacity expansion plans in the books right now?
So, Prathamesh, thank you for the call. So this was not I said that it is 18 to 20,000, but Jonas used that we have 18 to 20,000. So we have a very, you know, globally, if you have been following G. Varnava, there is a very strong culture of lean implementation, and through which we keep on working on how to expand the capacity through debottlenecking and through improvement of process flows and things like that. So we keep on working on those things, and we also keep identifying that what are the bottlenecks and then trying to see how this can be addressed to expand the capacity.
Okay, right, I understand. So, sir, just wanted to know, is there any capital expenditure plans? Or not capacity expansion, but anything else?
So if that will be there, then we will be anyhow declaring that officially to all our shareholders at the same time. So we would not like to comment anything on an investor call on this subject.
Sure, sir, I understand. So the last question is there a possibility to give me execution percentage right now for the Vadodara plant to be specified?
Can you repeat the question?
So I wanted to know the capacity utilization for specifically Vadodara plant, because if I'm not wrong, all the transformers come from our Vadodara plant. So yeah, I wanted to know the
I would say there that it is pretty occupied, but it is very difficult to comment in terms of whether like it is 92%, 72%, or 62%. So, there are a lot of operational efficiencies which we measure, but from a market perspective, it is very difficult to comment on such numbers.
Okay, so it's pretty high basically, more than 90, would you say?
No, that I will not say.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. Just a reminder to all the participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Inderjeet Singh Bhatia from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, gentlemen, for the opportunity. Few questions from my side. First is, you mentioned projects being 30% of the order book right now. What was the corresponding number at the start of the last financial year?
Mr. Inderjeet, the question was how much of the revenue comes from the project business in the last financial year. So it was revenue, a number of 30, not the order booking number of 30.
Would the order book mix be similar now, 30-70?
It will be lower. I don't have the exact number, but it should be lower.
Okay, second is on the revenue side. I recollect in quarter four, or I think quarter three call, you were talking about starting to accelerate from quarter four on track.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Bhatia, we are losing you in between. May we request you use the handset in case if you're using the speaker mode?
Sure, sure. Is it better now?
Much better, sir. Yeah. Please go ahead. Can you repeat the question once again? Yes.
Yeah, I was saying that in quarter three call, you have talked about revenues catching up with your very, very strong order book growth from quarter one onwards. Is that still on track? Because last year we've done 14% revenue growth, while order book growth is very, very significantly compared to that.
So I'll answer it differently. I think year-on-year comparison of 14% is one dimension to look at this number. But the other dimension is to also look at from the last year same quarter, wherein we have delivered 30%. And if you look at last few quarters, then every quarter we are delivering higher revenue than in the past. So, of course, we have a $62 billion INR of order backlog, which has a specific execution timeline as per the customer contract. And in the earlier question, we explained also the timeline. It was this from, let's say, 12 to 24 months. So this is the customer contract we will definitely be executing. And hopefully, we should be working to increase our revenue as much as possible as per the contract timeline.
Got it. One question on the cost structure. So if I look at on a quarterly run rate, your staff cost and your other operating expenses is roughly around 200 odd crores. What part of this is fixed cost and how much is variable out of that? I'm assuming staff is definitely is fully fixed. And
sorry, go ahead, please.
So staff would be fixed, I'm assuming. And then yes. Other operating expenses would have a mix of that. Can you share any color on the breakup between fixed and variable?
For the other expense, I don't have immediate breakup, but we can, on a very high level, take about 50-50 ratio.
Got it. And how are we, on a manpower-wise, how are we staffed right now? Do we have, do we need to kind of ramp up recruitment very significantly, or we are well staffed for the order book that we have?
So I would say that we are adequately staffed, but depending upon the orders, what we are taking and things like that, there is a plan which is always under a review. And whenever we think that we are going to need people, so there is a plan to add them.
Got it. But then one last question from my side. I'm sorry to nitpick, but just looking at a quarterly trend, especially in the last 2-3 quarters, our gross margins were around 36% in quarter 2 and quarter 3. They've come off to 33% in quarter 4. Is there anything to read in it? Any one time or any legacy orders getting closed or any mix change?
So this particular analysis we have been talking almost every quarter that in terms of gross margin, it's better to look at the entire year performance. On a full financial year basis, we achieved a gross margin of about 34.5%, which was 5.5 percentage points higher than the last financial year.
Got it.
Every quarter, it depends on the mix of different businesses that we do, different products and different contracts. So that can vary a little bit. But overall, we have made a very significant 5.5 percentage point improvement in the gross margin in the entire financial year.
Definitely, definitely. Thanks a lot. Best wishes for the future. And congratulations on great numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajit.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Agrawal from Nivesha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Sir, I have just two basic questions. Sir, firstly, I wanted to understand that if in an EPC project, suppose a project size is 2,000 crore, in the transmission segment, then how much cost is incurred on the towers, cable and wires, on the substation in that 2000, if you can give the rough idea?
No, I mean, Dhruv, it will be very difficult to give a rough idea because, you know, different projects have different combinations. For example, if it's a 400 kV or it's a 765 kV, if somewhere the substation is smaller, maybe 1500 MVA, somewhere it is 3000 MVA, somewhere the lines is longer, somewhere the lines are shorter. So this is a very project specific breakup which is there. So you cannot just simply take a value and then say that, okay, this is going to be the breakup in that.
Okay. Okay. And so the second question would be on this setcom. Sir, by setting up this substation, what percentage of cost would be, or what percentage of amount will be spent on this setcom, sir, as a percentage of total cost on setting up this substation?
So that's what I said, that the STATCOMs are normally, STATCOMs are getting ordered separately and substations are getting ordered separately. So that's what I said, that depending upon the STATCOM rating, each STATCOM would be somewhere between 250 to 500 crores.
Sorry, sir, 42?
50 to 500 crores.
Okay, 50 to 500, this is a broader range. Sir, can you just quantify in terms of percentage, sir, if it would be possible for you?
So, substation is not included in the STATCOM.
Okay, so it would be set up on which side, sir? Like you said, on the renewable side, the STATCOMs are set up. So, can you just quantify where would be this?
So you are asking me that where the STATCOMs will be set up?
Yes, yes.
So you have a lot of projects, like you have in Khavda, you will have in Bikaner, Badla, South Olepar. So a lot of wherever renewable substations are coming, STATCOMs are coming with them.
Okay. And which companies are setting up this STATCOM? So is this the only GNTD company setting up the STATCOMs? Or is there any some other players also setting up this STATCOM as well?
There are other players as well.
Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Guru.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Megha Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today. We hope the insights provided by our speakers have been informative and valuable to you. We value the trust and support of our investors and analysts and ensure to remain committed to maintain transparent communication and fostering strong relationships. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please do not hesitate to reach out to me or our communications leader. Once again, thank you for your participation in today's call. We look forward to your continued support. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of GT&D India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.